Hello and welcome. My name is Zach Weaver, and I'm the senior pastor at Liberty Vineyard Church. I'm so glad you tuned in to the sermon today. I hope that it blesses, encourages, and challenges you as you begin to explore the abundant life God has for you. If you're in the area, consider joining us for our weekly services, Sunday mornings at 10:30. We have lunch together, free of charge, each week following our service. Everyone is welcome. We're located in the city of Tucker, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. Directions and other information are available on our website at libertyvineyardchurch.com.
So I'm a child of the 80s, the 90s, and when I was growing up is about the time that video games started to be invented. They started to come out about that time period. And I'm not much into video games anymore, but back then I really was. They were new. That was the new thing. Computers were just coming out. We're getting all of this stuff. And one of the systems I had when I was a kid was something called a Sega Genesis. And I'm dating myself if you know what a Sega Genesis was. And a few years back, I found one of these at a consignment kind of place, and I bought it. It had games, controllers, and everything, and I've been indoctrinating my kids into playing video games in the 80s. They don't have any current video games. We only have, like, 1980s video games, and so we've got this game system, and it was just a couple of days we were playing it. We're all sitting in the floor of my bedroom, and I've got the video game thing up, and we're playing, like, I don't know, Sonic the Hedgehog or something old. I've definitely got that game. And one of the things I noticed, what happens is this game system, it's old, right? I mean, it's not a current working game system in great condition. And it happened back when in the day too. I remember this happening. In the middle of a game, it'll just get stuck. It'll just freeze. Or something will happen. It'll just get into this loop of information, and it can't get out of it. And there's only one thing to do, and that is this button that most things today don't have. And I'd not thought about this until I got started doing this, and it's the reset button. That thing only has two buttons, on-off and reset. And on-off isn't good for it. It's on-off, on-off, on-off. It's not good for the Switch. The reset button is there for one purpose, and that's to get it restarted and going again. And it's either because the system is stuck or because they're stuck. A lot of times my kids get into a place in the game, and they're like, I don't know what to do. I want to go back and try this again. Reset button. Well, we're at a time of year right now where a lot of us, and myself included, think about hitting, I wish I had kind of a life reset sometimes button. Maybe on a certain situation, maybe on a plan, maybe on a direction that's been going, just wish I could just go start over. Let's try that again and see what happens. This new year is a time of renewal. It's a time of change, a time of restart. It's a time of possibilities. What could happen? What if I do this? What might happen with the next step? Right? There's new opportunities. Cindy was just sharing with us this morning about now she's gotten one thing going. Now what's the next step? So is Nancy. What's this new possibility? This is all comes around at this time of year. And you know, if you think about it, there's nothing magical or mystical about the changeover of the clock. You know, the changeover, the date, there's nothing miraculous that happens on that day that now, oh, it's a new year, everything's different. It's not. If you were, you know, out somewhere and you didn't even know that it had changed, if you're in a cave somewhere and then the date changed, it's not going to make any difference in your life. There isn't anything magical about it except that it's symbolic of things starting over. It's symbolic of a new beginning, right? Well, the psalmist, there's a psalm about this exact moment in a person's life. There's an excerpt. You've heard this, I'm sure, before. It's a pretty famous one. And it's written by David, and it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew, reset, a right spirit within me." Now, this is an excerpt. This is verse 10 from Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 is a psalm of David, and it's a very specific psalm written at a very specific time in David's life. It's written at a time, this is after David had sinned by sleeping with another man's wife. Not only had he slept with her, he got her pregnant. Not only did he get her pregnant, but he had her husband killed. You talk about somebody that was on the wrong side of God's will, really moving in the wrong direction, had gotten in a place he was stuck, and he needed a reset. And so he writes in this psalm, restore. I'm just going to pull some of the words of this. It says, purge me, wash me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Restore me, deliver me. You hear there's movement in these words. There's something active in this language. I need this to happen, God. Do this, move, change, do something new in me. Now, I'm not suggesting that the only time we need to see renewal or any of this is when we're in that level of sin or something that deep has happened in our life. More, I want us to see this in the sense of a general place of living outside of God's will, or moving in a direction that's outside of where God is wanting you to go. And that's what really, that whole visit from Nathan the prophet, when this happens for David, the visit of Nathan is him going and saying, look, you're not going the way you need to go. You need to turn. When this happens, when you notice that there is something like this in your life, or simply something that isn't going the way you wish it would, something you know that there's something else that you're supposed to be, or a different direction, or any of those things, there's a two-step process. The first step is something called repentance. And I know repentance has a lot of biblical baggage that goes along with it. But it's actually just a term that means what? Turning around. Turning away and changing your direction. It means I'm going this way, now I'm going to go a different way. That's repentance. That's what it means. This is what David needed. He needed a lot of that. But we might need it too. And we have needed it at plenty of times in our life, and you'll need it again. Sorry, newsflash, if you thought it was all perfect and it's never going to be bad. You're going to need it again, and that's okay. But that's repentance. It's just turning away. But it's not just turning away, because that's not what David just stops with. He doesn't just say, create in me a clean heart. He says to renew, restore, and reset. What is he saying? Don't just turn away. Turn toward. Turn away from this, turn toward something else. It is not enough in your life to say, oh, I'm going the wrong direction, let me just turn around. If you're lost in the woods, you don't just start randomly spinning in circles and go, I guess I'll just go this way and see what happens. No, no. You need to go headed towards something. You don't just head away from something. That's not a safe way to do things. It's not a safe way to get unlost. It's not a safe way to get through your life. You turn away and you turn toward. Well, there's another passage in Scripture written by another person that knew a little something about that, that's written in the New Testament. And if you look over, way over in Philippians, in chapter 3, written by another man who had a really a place in his life where he was not in God's will. Paul, formerly Saul, was really on the wrong side of God's will. And God gets a hold of him. He got a big reset. Turned around and starts heading strong after Christ, just strong, full on in his life. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he writes these words. I want you to hear this in light of that Psalm of David. He writes these words, forgetting what lies behind. What does that mean? Repenting, turning away, forgetting about that stuff that was in the past. I can't be thinking about that all the time. I can't be thinking, what if I had done it differently? What if this had happened? What if, what if, what if? You'll drive yourself crazy, and it isn't God's heart. He says, forgetting what lies behind me. But what? Does he say, is that where it ends? No. And straining forward to what lies ahead. It's repentance and renewal. It's turning away from something toward something else. It's turning away with a purpose, not just turning in circles. That doesn't do it. Turning away from something with the intent of focusing on something else. I mean, that's what New Year's resolutions are supposed to all be about. They're not simply turning away from something. They're turning toward something else. Giving yourself a goal. Giving yourself a purpose. A reason to stick with it. Just not doing it isn't a reason. Not doing it because, or doing more because, right? What was Paul's goal? Well, in verse 14, he continues, I press toward the goal for the prize. Okay, what's the prize? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call. Isn't that a neat, I like that phrase, the upward call. What does it mean? It just means a calling that's higher than what we have here on the earth, than what our regular day-to-day lives. It means a biblical calling. It means a godly calling. It means a heavenly calling. It's a calling to things that are greater than ourselves. It's calling to things that are bigger than ourselves. And it's a calling the way we get there. Okay, this is important, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But the way you get there is through this process of straining forward, he says, of going through this by making these changes in our life, these turning away and turning towards. It isn't one thing. You're not going to do one thing in your life that suddenly resets and changes your entire life. It's going to be a series of little things, and maybe some big. I'm not saying don't do big things, but the big thing is Jesus Christ saving you. I mean, that's the big renewal. That's the big repentance. After that, it's just a series of small things that we do in our life that create huge changes over time. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. How do we know when it's time for a change in a certain area of your life? How do you know when, okay, it's time for reset or it's time for a renewal in this place? One of the things I think that's the easiest way to look at is if there's something that's consistent, a repetitive pattern, especially if it's got a sinful nature to it, something that's repetitive in your life that you say, I can't keep doing this over and over and over and over and over. Those are easy ones to see. They're easy ones to notice. And that's a good one for it's time for a change. It's time to do something differently. They won't go away on their own. If they had gone away on their own, they would have gone away by now, right? I mean, we've all had things like that in our lives. They were going to go away, they would have. They're not going to go away on their own. It's going to take, and I keep disordering my sermon here. It's going to take like God's intervention in this. That's how those things change. Okay, I'm going to totally get out of order with this. Create in me a clean heart. That word, that's an ancient, archaic, old word. Do you know how old the word is? In the beginning, God created. That's the word. It's a word that isn't something we create. It's a special kind of creation that only happens through God. God's good with creating. God's good with renewal. It's his specialty. It's how he chose to start the Bible, and it's how he chose to end the Bible. And it's how he chose to start each of our lives by creating us as a new creation, right? A new creation that he made. And then renewing our life. Just cosmic reset button. You get to start again in a new life in Christ. Putting away all that lies behind. And straining for what lies ahead. If all that your Christian life was, I turned away and I repented from that, but there's not any goal, you're going to get lost quick. So one of the first ways we know there's time for a change is if there's some kind of recurring pattern in our lives that we can just say, God, if it was going to change, it would have changed by now. Would you just help me? Let him in. Open yourself up to that place. Make a way for him to get into you. God can force himself in, but more often he wants us to invite him into those areas. It's not enough for us to just go, well, God, if you were going to do it, you'd have done it by now. That's not how God works. And the second ways I think that we know and can find it's time for a change is when we've just gotten into a place, and it may be caused by the first one, but into a way of life that's just unsustainable. You're doing something, you just go, I cannot keep doing this any longer. It's an unbalanced life. This kind of life that wobbles. You know, where if you've ever seen a top, you can get that thing spinning. And you can get it to really smooth spin. But as it starts to lose its momentum, as it always does, it starts to wobble. And it starts to tilt. And then it just starts to spin wider and wider until it's done. Unbalanced life. Unsustainable life. The kind of life that just needs a new way. It needs a total reset. If there's a whole life that way, or if it's just a part of your life, then there's only one way to renew that. And that's God. It's that invitation, God. I don't know. If you knew how to fix it, you would have done it. Right? I mean, if we knew the way, this is what I have to do. There's only one way. It's God's knowledge, it's his wisdom, it's his care for you to get in there, into the deep parts of your life and begin to make real life change, real spiritual change, real movement in a way that's transformative and transcendent, in a way that is not dependent on what I see around me or the circumstances of my life, but in a way that is totally dependent on this is God, this is what he's calling me to do, I'm going to go this way. I don't care if it's hard. I don't care what it looks like. That's what he's calling me to do. Paul threw away everything that his life had been working toward. He threw away all his relationships, all the stuff that he had, forgetting what lies behind and striving for what's ahead. And it hasn't ever changed. It was the same for David. A renewal, a new start. David couldn't dwell on this for the rest of his life and live the way God called him to live. Instead, he said, save me and then restore me. And that promise is there for you, and it's there for me, and it's there for all of God's people, because that's what God's good at. God's good at creating. He's good at restoration. And what's more, he loves us. The final thing that I think a lot of times, if how we know it's time for change, is when we're just living a less drastic way, living outside of God's ideal in a certain area of our life. Some of you may be looking at this, and I know sometimes this is the way it goes. We look at these kind of scriptures, and we see the turning away and the turning to, and we think that all change requires a 180-degree change. Like, whatever you're doing, do the opposite. And that's a drastic, that's kind of what Psalm 51 and the Philippians 3, that's sort of what they sound like, right? And that kind of drastic, radical change may be needed. It may. But it's not all change has to be 180 degrees. Sometimes change, and that's what I was talking about with the small things in our life, can be gradual. And small steps can yield amazing transformations. In the book of James, he uses an analogy that doesn't apply here as much, but the analogy is great. He talks about when he's talking about taming the tongue, and he talks about how the tongue is like the rudder of a huge ship. And he says, you know, it's such a big, massive thing, but this little tiny part can steer the whole ship. But that's the way it's like sometimes with change in our life. Boats are terrible at making like 90 degree turns and 180 degree turn. You're not steering a ship through the ocean and you just flip that thing around and turn it around. There's no handbrake, right? Ships are terrible at that. They don't maneuver that way. But you turn that wheel just a little, that rudder, and your whole charted trajectory changes. Your whole course can be changed with a small movement of the rudder. Why? Because it doesn't happen right then. It happens a little at a time, a little more and a little more. And you look back on your life and you go, that was the moment I said I was going to make the change. That was the moment I turned the rudder. And then you look back and you go, I was headed this direction. I ended up over here. Forgetting what lies behind, I was going that way, put it away. And straining to what lies ahead. Straining. Because the waves and the wind and the storms and the current want to push you one way. Your life isn't going to just go, oh, okay, great, it'll be easy for you to go this new way. It's not how it goes. It wants to pull against you. You can't just let go of the wheel of the ship and go, it'll probably just steer itself. It'll be fine. It won't steer itself. And it's a constant battle. But if you'll be patient, if you'll stick with it, if you'll wait, you will see dramatic results, life-changing results, life-altering results that are all because you let God in to those deep places. You gave him a spot to say, okay, God, I have tried this my way. I've tried this in my own strength. I've tried again and again. I can't do it. Created me a clean heart, God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Those are the kind of sacrifices God wants. The kind of heart that's willing to say, I give that to you, God. I have more in there, but I don't want to go any further with that today. So we're going to stop there and we're going to pray. And we'll pick this up next week with more of God's renewal and more of his heart. But that is really at the heart of this series that we've been doing. This idea of seeking God's heart in these different areas is being able to look at, here's God's ideal. And here's the world's ideal. And where do I fall in that spectrum? I mean, the Bible, this is an amazing, terrific source for being able to give you a template for where those areas of your life are going to look. I don't know where we all are in different places, but if that's you, if your life has gotten in this repetitive pattern where you're like, this is never going to change unless I make a change in my life, unless I let God get in there and do something different. If you're living that unbalanced, wobbly life, that you can tell this is not going to keep going. Eventually, it's going to crash. Or if you're just simply living outside a little bit or somewhere along that spectrum that's not quite God's ideal, this is your time. I don't have anything else I want to share today, but this is your time. You and God, I want to take some time and let's just pray. If you want to just be in your seat for a minute and pray, and if God leads you, you want prayer, we want to pray for you. There's lots of space up here. There's no shame because guess what? We're all human. We've all been in this place. We're all going to be in this place. Let us pray. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm just going to take maybe a little bit of time here and just seek the Lord in this. So, Father, I thank you that you call us to a life that's greater than what we could ever imagine. That you call us to something that is brighter, something that is new, and also scary. Lord, we get comfortable and we get set in doing things. This is the way I've always done it. This is the way I want to do it. And God, sometimes you just have to shine that light. Lord, I pray that we would be open and ready for the change that you have in our lives. I pray for each person here. If there's someone that's hearing my voice, God, that just has hit that brick wall in their lives, would you just turn them around now? Would you give them a heart that's ready to receive? And I ask your blessing over your people. Come and give them peace. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.